The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. This is part one of our coverage of the 67th session of the UN Commission on Narcotic Drugs, which runs this year from March 14th through the 22nd. Whole lot of content, so let's get started. First, here's the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Colombia, Luis Gilberto Murillo.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you very much.
Buenos días.
Good day.
Brother Ambassador Johnson, thank you. Distinguished UN authorities, head of delegations, ambassadors and delegates, members of civil society, excellencies and colleagues. I have the honor to deliver this statement on behalf of the following member states: Albania, Andorra, Armenia, Australia, Austria, Belgium, Bolivia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Brazil, Bulgaria, Canada, Croatia, Colombia, Costa Rica, Cyprus, Czechia, Denmark, Dominican Republic, Estonia, Finland, France, Georgia, Germany, Greece, Guatemala, Honduras, Hungary, Iceland, Ireland, Italy, Kiribati, Latvia, Liechtenstein, Lithuania, Luxembourg, Malta, Mexico, Moldova, Montenegro, Netherlands, New Zealand, North Macedonia, Norway, Panama, Poland, Portugal, Republic of Korea, Romania, San Marino, Serbia, Slovakia, Slovenia, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, Timor-Leste, Ukraine, United Kingdom, United States, and Uruguay. This group of member states would like to convey the following key messages today at the opening of the high-level segment of the 2024 midterm review. We are gathering at a time when the international community needs urgent progress against persistent and expanding drug challenges that endanger the health, human rights, well-being, and security of peoples. The demand for and supply of illicit drugs have reached unprecedented levels, while illicit manufacturing and trafficking are contributing to alarming rates of violence around the world, causing people to live in fear, unable to protect their children, and unable to trust that their governments will protect them. And in some regions, the violence and crime feed the prolonged conflict. At the same time, despite their indispensability, millions of people across the world continue to suffer because of inadequate access to and availability of controlled medicines due to affordability issues and other system obstacles. In many communities, illicit drugs are available, controlled medicines are not. This leads us to conclude that the international drug control system, as it is currently applied, needs rethinking based on concrete evidence so we can start making progress together. Drug-related organized crime thrives worldwide, distorts governance and political processes, damages democratic institutions, incentivizes corruptions, takes advantage of the immediacy and anonymity of granted by the internet, and weakens the rule of law. Profit of organized crime groups continue to soar and exacerbate and amplify an array of other illegal economies, including among them human trafficking and crimes that affect the environment. This criminality undermines the very existence of states, disrupts the functioning of our societies, and generates high social and economic costs, hence hindering the achievement of the sustainable development goals. Patterns of illicit manufacturing and trafficking of drugs are shifting rapidly. The evolution and proliferation of illicit synthetic drugs is expanding at alarming pace and is creating a global threat affecting especially young people. These drugs can be extremely lethal and easily trafficked, easily accessing them in a very simple, and they are very responsible for unprecedented levels of overdose deaths and poisoning around the globe. All these evolving drug-related issues are ultimately human rights issues that directly impact the health and well-being of our people. The number of people who suffer from drug use disorders today has skyrocketed to 39.5 million, a 45% increase in the last decade. Evidence shows that the drug use disorders are multifactorial health conditions that can only be effectively addressed through inclusive, right-based, and non-discriminatory treatment, healthcare, harm reduction, social protection, and rehabilitation provided in the context of health system that guaranteed non-stigmatization. Those in need of treatment and services face persistent obstacles. Therefore, we recognize the importance of harm reduction approaches grounded in justice and human rights, and a gender and age perspective into our drug policies is in order to reduce adverse consequences of drugs on both the individual and society levels, and also to contribute to the realization of gender equality and the enjoyment of all human rights. Putting people first in drug responses is part of our broader effort. This means prioritizing public health, developing prevention initiatives, eliminating the stigma associated with drug use disorders, and ensuring the access to and availability of controlled substances for medical and scientific purposes, including for the relief of pain and suffering by addressing affordability and other existing barriers in this regard. Our global policy should be treating people with dignity and uphold their human rights. I want to repeat, our global policy should treat people with dignity and uphold their human rights, should increase viable economic alternatives through long-term, comprehensive, inclusive, and sustainable alternative development programs, should include economic solutions for young people, women, rural community, people of African descent, indigenous peoples, and homeless populations affected by or at risk of drug-related activities. We regret the disproportionate impact of drug use and drug trafficking on marginalized populations. We reaffirm our support to the international guidelines of drug policy and human rights, and we welcome the report released by the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights on human rights in drug policy as a tool for further discussion, as well as the presence of representatives here of relevant UN bodies. The presence of these bodies in Vienna is an important step in terms of avoid working in silos. And we invite them to enhance the regular exchanges between Vienna, Geneva, and New York. We also commend the important role played by civil society in helping develop and implement many crucial elements of effective drug policies. In view of our common objectives and shared responsibility, we appeal for global solidarity and cooperation to reduce the immense human suffering caused by a phenomenon that is occurring worldwide. If we want to impact the lives of individuals, households, and communities around the globe, we need a transformation in our vision of the world drug policy based on realistic, evidence-based assessment and a pragmatic response. Therefore, we resolve to jointly review and reassess the international drug control system to ensure weaknesses in implementation are addressed and that our appropriately focused on achieving our common goals and objectives to protect the health and well-being of humankind. The responsibility belongs to all of us, individually and collectively. In this difficult and divided moment, let's meet that obligation for today's and future generations. Despite the challenging social and political environment that we find ourselves in, let's unite for the benefit of our people, today and tomorrow, starting here, starting now. Now, ahora, permit.
And now, allow me to voice the pledges and commitments on behalf of the Republic of Colombia. We are committing to the following two things. Firstly, to design and implement an international harm reduction network so that this approach becomes a linchpin of the global drugs policy. Secondly, and the most important, to progress in the critical review of the international drugs control system in order to adopt a pragmatic and realistic system that is scientific evidence-based and which protects rights. Thank you very much.
That was Minister of Foreign Affairs of Colombia, Luis Gilberto Murillo, on March 14th, addressing the 67th session of the UN's Commission on Narcotic Drugs. Now, here's Ahmed Mohamed Said with the African Network of People Who Use Drugs.
Distinguished Chair, ladies and gentlemen, Your Excellency, my name is Ahmed Said from African Network of People Who Use Drugs. African Network of People Who Use Drugs is the drug use-led network operating the continent to promote effective harm reduction intervention for people who use drugs and people living with HIV, hepatitis, TB, and other relevant issues of health. As a community directly affected by the decision of drug policy health services, we believe that our voices and input are essential, ensuring the welfare of the people who use drugs are met by the global community. Across Africa, health services continue to fall short of meeting the needs of the people who use drugs, despite the recommendation by the UN agencies such as UNAID, UNDP. Prohibition remains the central component of drug policies. This approach stands in opposition to the evidence-based, which acknowledge that upholding structural barriers such as criminalization and societal barriers such as stigmatization prevent both implementation of practice which are proven to be effective at reducing related death and transmission of HIV, hepatitis C, TB, and other diseases. The lack of funding opportunity for community-led organization in Africa providing essential services prevents meaningful involvement of the people who use drugs in decision-making processes, prohibiting those who are both affected by and have solution to this issue from sharing their expertise and the testimonials. This disproportionately affects low-income countries, and as equity of funding decision is not balanced enough. Madam Chair, to meet the need of the most marginalized community. Madam Chair, without effective program designed and led by the people who use drugs, the global community will continue fall short of achieving sustainable development goal. Development goal number 3, which talks about health and life and promote the well-being of the people. SGD number 1, which talk about elimination of poverty. SGD number 5, which talks about gender equality. SGD number 10, which talks of reduced inequality. And SGD number 16, which talks of peace, justice, and strong institution. Madam Chair, countries with which continue to criminalize people who use drugs rather than implement evidence-based health services stand in opposition of these goals. By ignoring proven intervention which helps save lives, we are undermining global commitment to a more just, equitable, and inclusive society. Madam Chair, there are many things for us, but there is nothing for us without us. Thank you so much.
That was Ahmed Mohamed Said with the African Network of People Who Use Drugs on March 14th, addressing the 67th session of the UN's Commission on Narcotic Drugs. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. We're listening to highlights from the first 2 days of the 67th session of the UN's Commission on Narcotic Drugs. Now, here's Gloria Lai, the International Drug Policy Consortium's Regional Director for Asia.
Thank you, Your Excellency. I speak on behalf of the International Drug Policy Consortium, a global network of 190 civil society organizations advocating for drug policies based in human rights and social justice. We drew on a broad range of data and evidence, including the experiences of civil society and community organizations, to produce a shadow report which shows that little to no progress has been made since the 2019 ministerial declaration was adopted. For decades, the unachievable goal of a drug-free society has driven drug policies that are based on prohibition, criminalization, and harsh punishment. Civil society and community organizations play a central role in bringing forward evidence and lived experiences to inform policy responses to drugs. Member states and UN entities have a responsibility to listen to them and to reflect on how to reform a global system that has so clearly failed. I have a slide, but just a few. Thank you. It's just a few slides, so I haven't missed much. This is the report that I'm referring to, and our report shows that billions of dollars are spent every year on drug law enforcement. But the illegal drug market is thriving, and militarized responses fuel conflict and violence. Drug-related deaths remain at historical highs, over 500,000 deaths per year, driven in many places by a deadly and unpredictable drug supply. Access to gender-sensitive and age-appropriate harm reduction and treatment services is grossly inadequate. Access to controlled medicines for pain relief and palliative care also remains low to non-existent in most parts of the world. Our report shows that in all regions, the human rights impacts of drug control have either worsened or remain unchanged. These abuses range from ongoing use of the death penalty, extrajudicial killings, arbitrary arrest and detention, mass incarceration, and torture disguised as drug treatment or rehabilitation. There is also widespread discrimination on the basis of race, gender, age, and socioeconomic status. The good news is that last year, the Human Rights Council adopted Resolution 52/24 on the human rights implications of drug policy. It led to a report presented by the OACHR that my colleague on the panel referred to already, and we strongly welcome this report. And here at the CND next week, there will be a program of 7 side events supported by the OACHR on the challenges and recommendations in this report, which we invite you to attend. Further, in 66 jurisdictions across 40 countries, the use of drugs and related activities have been decriminalized. Over 300 million people live in legal systems that regulate cannabis for recreational use, which can check the power of organized crime as well as the harms of criminalization. And at the request of Bolivia, the WHO initiated a critical review of the status of the coca leaf under the drug control conventions, which would end its global prohibition and reinstate the rights of indigenous peoples that have used the plants for for centuries. In looking ahead at how to achieve a genuine paradigm shift towards drug policies that prioritize human rights and the health and welfare of humankind, we offer 6 recommendations. First, member states must promote and protect civil society space at the CND and at the UN in general. Second, as a lead agency responsible for implementation of the UN system common position on drugs within the UN task team, the UNODC needs to do more to place the protection of health, human rights, equality, and non-discrimination at the center of its work. Third, UN bodies, including the WTO, OHCHR, and UNAIDS, should develop evidence-based guidance on how to implement policies that decriminalize and legally regulate drugs. Fourth, the Human Rights Council should create a special procedure mandate on human rights and the world drugs situation that's responsible for providing evidence and developing international standards on drug policies. Fifth, member states should establish a multi-stakeholder mechanism that includes civil society, academia, and relevant UN entities, and is responsible for exploring options to review and update the UN drug control conventions. Lastly, to ensure that the human rights dimension of drug policy are entrenched in the work of the CND, the Commission should add it as a standing agenda item to its annual sessions. Finally, as we did for the Ukrainian people in 2022, many members in our network, the IDPC network, expressed solidarity with the Palestinian people as they face an unprecedented humanitarian catastrophe. We urge member states to uphold international law and prevent further bloodshed and destruction, including an immediate permanent ceasefire, effective humanitarian aid, the end of the occupation of Palestinian territories, the cessation of arms transfers, the release of those arbitrarily detained or otherwise deprived of liberty against international law on all sides, and credible commitments towards peace and justice. Thank you.
That was Gloria Lai, the International Drug Policy Consortium's Regional Director for Asia, speaking at a roundtable at the CND on March 14th. Here's Camilo Eduardo Umaña Hernández, Vice Minister of Criminal Policy and Restorative Justice of Colombia.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, Colombia acknowledges and thanks the opportunity to address to this forum as part of a platform, a space for critical reflection on the international drug paradigm to assess the availability for the international drug control system to deliver what is expected, health, well-being, and security. Colombia, having suffered the harmful effects of prohibition and persecution, has seen the loss of countless lives and the destruction of communities, particularly indigenous, Afro-descendant, and peasant populations. The country struggles with ecosystem devastation, institutional corruption, and threats to its democracy due to a prohibitionist approach. Unfortunately, the implementation of the commitments assumed in the Ministerial Declaration of 2019 has not been fulfilled. They will not be fulfilled in 2029. The premise of a drug-free world is unrealistic. The current control system must be evaluated to improve what it can offer to our societies in terms of health, security, and well-being. Some ideas that can allow us to elaborate on this sense are that drug trafficking especially adapts rapidly. However, regulations adapt slowly. The fact that regulations and especially international regulations adapt so slowly involves an attack to the capacity of states to counteract against this threat. There is still a lack of information. Raising awareness in countries in the north is essential to overcome problematic consumption of these substances. The range of drugs is expanding. The number of new synthetic psychoactive substances are available worldwide increased in 2021 to 618, and 87 of them were detected for the first time. However, there is not much discussion on the human nature and conditions of this issue. Drug use disorder lacks of a reflection around a politics of psychosocial support. A reflection on the youngsters. Why are people consuming, and especially why and what problems are connected to drug use disorder are at hand. Criminal law and punitiveness haven't changed much. In our country, in Colombia, we acknowledge that around 40% of women have been criminalized because of drug-related offenses. We have started a restorative program involving the use of work and other social services as a substitute of deprivation to liberty. We acknowledge that restorative justice may bring better solutions to overcome the situation of overcriminalization of poor populations or vulnerable populations. Special focuses on human rights must be observed to update these regulations. We cannot overlook the evaluation and contribution made by Human Rights Council, the contribution of the Human Rights Council with regard to the human rights implications of drug policy, and the human rights challenges in addressing and countering all aspects of the world drug problem. We may not overlook the existence of legally regulated markets for the non-medical use of controlled drugs, which can provide valuable lessons and suggest possible alternatives. Nor can we ignore the tension between drug conventions and the rights of indigenous peoples. We call for recognizing the importance of risk and harm reduction that is based on principles of public health and social inclusion, which contributes to reducing access gaps and enabling the effective exercise of the right to health, and aims to take a concrete steps towards improving the well-being and quality of life of people who use drugs, with a high potential not only to save lives, but to address problems based on social injustice. President Gustavo Petro has pointed out, Colombia calls on you to rethink the approach to the world drug situation. We will start in our region of Latin America and the Caribbean, and want to take this debate to the rest of the world. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
That was Camilo Eduardo Umaña Hernández, Vice Minister of Criminal Policy and Restorative Justice of Colombia, speaking at a roundtable at the CND on March 14th.
Today I'm sending Congress a message which expresses my strong concern about the crime and sickness and death caused by the abuse of drugs, including barbiturates and alcohol. I'm ordering the Attorney General to concentrate on breaking the links between organized crime and drug traffic. We will not have an effective and united federal effort against drugs unless we reorganize the current federal effort, now divided among more than 20 different, often competing, non-cooperative agencies on occasion. Therefore, I'm directing my staff to eliminate this duplication and overlap, and also to end the long-standing fragmentation among our international drug enforcement programs. In our own country, I'm ordering a study of how we can best control the abuse of barbiturates and other prescription drugs, which cause many deaths, while not interfering with their legitimate medical use. I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana, leaving the states free to adopt whatever laws they wish concerning marijuana. Decriminalization is not legalization. I do not condone any drug abuse, and we'll do everything possible to reduce the serious threat to our society. Federal civil penalties should be continued as a deterrent to the possession and use of marijuana. Drug research and treatment programs will also be improved.
And for now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. This has been Century of Lies. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. Century of Lies is a volunteer production for community radio and syndicated via the Pacifica Foundation Radio Network's audio port service. Please support your local community radio station. Become a member. Become a volunteer. Find this edition of Century along with an archive of past shows at the Drug Truth Network website, drugtruth.net. You'll find a link there to subscribe to the Century of Lies podcast. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy and the failed war on drugs. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long.
For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the Century of Lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.